You know, I used to be a stripper, so I'm used to coming onto a stage and people being excited. I had a few different names, but we won't go into that today. So on the way to the airport, my mom was driving me, and my mom is my chauffeur of choice. She says, anytime you need a ride, you want to go to the airport, I just want to hang out with you. Just let's go. Just come on over and let's go. Of course, she won't pick me up at my house. I have to drive to her house first, and then she'll take me from there. But on the way to the airport, she said, so honey, what are you speaking about? And I said, well, I'm going to speak about how to have a viewpoint in your business. And she said, oh, I get it. Salespeople are bossy. And I was like, how did you get that from having a viewpoint in your business that it's about being bossy? And I think that's kind of the general consensus, that if you have a viewpoint, you must be bossy. And I think now is the time to change the way that we think about bossy and think of it as being a smart entrepreneur. Because the people that really succeed in business have a viewpoint. Gucci, Prada, Louis Vuitton all have a viewpoint. Apple has a viewpoint. I remember in the 1990s when the Apple computer, the big desktop, first came out. I was like, oh my God, it comes in different colors. It's totally innovative. Like, technology can be sexy and beautiful. Like, that's amazing. Nobody was doing that. Apple had a viewpoint. I mean, not just about design, but about functionality as well. When you go to a mall, what's the most crowded store in the mall? The Apple store. Why? Because they were so smart and they said, we're not just going to make this a place to buy technology. We're going to make this a place to come and hang out. We're going to make this like so user-friendly. You can come and you can plan our like five products, right? You know, but they display them so nicely. They're like, oh my God, that's an iPad. And my husband will be like, you have an iPad. I know. But this is when the Apple store, and this is the black one. And it's an iPad Air. I don't have an iPad Air. Maybe I should get one. They also decided that, you know, customer service should be central to their retail store. So they took, I think it's about 30% of their retail space, and they turned that into the Genius Bar. And it really is genius, because you go in. I was just in the other day. I got a new phone. And then you go in, you're like, oh, I need a new iPhone case. I think I need a new charger. Like, that cord that I have, it looks kind of dirty. It's not quite as white as it used to be. And you end up spending all this money that you didn't even plan on spending just because you're so excited to be at the Apple store. And think of people who have a service-based business. You know, Dr. Phil, right? He's got a viewpoint. He has an opinion about everything. And this is the problem. I know some of you are laughing about Dr. Phil, but we can really look up to him. But also, he is a great, worthy opponent. Because the rest of you who have opinions and viewpoints about the world, who have service-based businesses, especially those of you who really help help people like self-development, if you're not out there giving your viewpoint, Dr. Phil gets to run the world. Right? Do we really want that? So I think of, you know, Natalie. She's got great viewpoints. She's like up here and she's like, you know, she's all about like technology and her spiral staircase. Like, I don't know about you, but I'm never going to forget that visual of businesses like a spiral staircase. That's a viewpoint. Some people are like, it's this way, or it's, you know, this way. But Natalie's like, no, it's this way. That's her viewpoint. And you either agree with it or you don't. I agreed with it. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like a spiral staircase and like jumping off a cliff and like swimming in the deep ocean, you know, with like no scuba equipment. So this is why it's so important to have a viewpoint, because your customers will recognize whether they want to work with you or not, or whether they want to buy your product or service or not. So, okay, this is my super important note card over here. Okay, so how to come up with them. So if you're not in the practice of having a viewpoint, if you're not in the practice of speaking your mind, start with the little things. Start with, I was at a bakery this morning with my friend Julie, who I'm staying with, and I said, you know, I was practicing my thing with her. She's like, well, I want to hear it. And then she kept interrupting me. I'm like, Julie, I'm doing my presentation. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to me. I'm like, no, zip it. So we were talking about viewpoints of like just looking for like the most basic thing. So we're in this bakery, and what's the color in most bakeries?
White.
White and then brown. Like all the bread is kind of brown, right? So you have like this white and brown look. But then in the window, they have this beautiful flower display of these beautiful pink roses, this beautiful lush flower display. And I said, okay, here's my viewpoint. Every bakery should have a beautiful bouquet of flowers to offset all the brown in here. That's a viewpoint. And so I could like walk around to every bakery in New York City and say, you need some flowers here. That's a viewpoint. So it's the little tiniest things like that. I also have a lot of viewpoints about bathrooms, public bathrooms in particular. So a girl's got to think about some things. So I went to the bathroom here yesterday, and I'm like, there is no garbage can. There's no garbage can in the wash area. And I think I told Lynn, I'm like, Lynn, there's no garbage can. Where are people supposed to put their, you know, their paper towels or whatever? So the person who, you know, designed it probably was like, oh, garbage cans are ugly, right? They're hideous. But you know what's even uglier? It's like crumpled paper thrown everywhere. And so as a customer, like, I am all about the user experience. That's part of my viewpoint. I think bathrooms should also have a coat hook. And not just like a rinky-dinky, rusty coat hook. It's like, I spend a lot of money in handbags. I don't want to hang it on some, like, ghetto-looking tiny coat hook that's like this long. I want like long, you know, beautiful, lush. That's another viewpoint that I have about bathrooms. And so whenever I go into a public bathroom, I have this mental checklist that I run through. Like, what kind of hand dryer do they have? There's a brand new movie theater in Minneapolis, and they have like the old school hand dryers. I'm like, have you not heard of the Dyson Airblade? What is wrong with you people? So I'm like, you know, and I go to the bathroom a lot, so these are the things that I think about. But it's as simple as, what should a public bathroom have? Like, what are the basic things besides being clean? A garbage can and a coat hook, right? And a place to wash your hands. Or the other thing that drives me bananas, if there's no shelf. Again, like, where are the ladies supposed to put our bags? So we're like, you know, putting the bags between our legs, and we're trying to do this, and then like water's getting everywhere. Like, they're just not designed with us in mind. So if things don't work out with me in my current business, I'm definitely going to become a bathroom designer. Okay, so just really start thinking about the little things. And then as you build up your practice, about this, you know, even keep like a little notebook of like, there should never be a carpet here because I could trip and fall down the aisle. Like right now, like that's coming up right there. I could totally trip and fall. And I used to work in commercial real estate, so I know all about these little tiny safety standard things. So these are like little things like, oh, that shouldn't be like that, or that shouldn't be like this. And the truth is, you're probably already thinking these things anyways. You're just not really paying attention to that. You're thinking about things like that. So then think about your specific business. You know, what are the viewpoints that you have in your business? What are the things that you would like to see differently? And in just a few minutes, I'm going to bring up some ladies from the audience, and they're going to share their viewpoints, and we're going to talk about how they brought those into their businesses. But just, again, think about, like, what would you like to see different in your industry? So I'll give another example. A viewpoint that I have is that there comes a certain point in your business where you have to put away the step-by-step formulas. You have to stop looking for the quick fixes. I see a lot of like, uh-huh. You have to quit seeking out those silver bullets because they just halt your success. It's when you're first starting out in business, it's so important to learn the basics of sales and marketing, but eventually you got to put all that stuff away, and you got to go out on your own, and you have to figure it out. Otherwise, you're always going to stay at this level. You're always going to have a little bit of confusion in your business. You're always going to be like, when's it my turn? When's it my turn? When's it my turn? And every person that's ever had a huge amount of success has eventually put away the things they've learned from their coaches, from their teachers, from their mentors, and done it their way. So like speaking, I break all the rules when I speak. I have a note card. I bring it up with me. I stayed up too late. I had one drink too many. I drank too much coffee this morning. I haven't eaten yet. I might pass out from like low blood sugar. I never know what I'm going to say. I just totally love to wing it. But that's what makes me feel alive. And that is something that's... I break all the rules. The last time I did this presentation, one of my clients is a speech designer. And it was in L.A. And I looked at her site the night before. I'm like, maybe I should like be more professional and look up some tips. So I'm like looking on her site, and she's like, Don't imagine the audience naked. I'm like, oh, I can do that. I'll just imagine myself naked, because then I'm so used to, like, for my stripper days, maybe I'll just feel a little bit more comfortable if I just imagine myself naked up here. You know, break the rules, right? And so, you know, this is a journey of having an opinion, a journey of having a viewpoint. And it's a muscle, and you have to build it, you know, again and again and again and again. Okay, so just, like, start keeping track of those things. Okay, sip of water. I'm shaking because of caffeine, not because of nerves. So it's a good cover. Okay, so obstacles to sharing your viewpoints. So everything that I speak about, everything that I write about, everything that I talk about are things that I've experienced personally. So, you know, one of the things I think people come to me and they say, well, I'm afraid to give my viewpoint, or I'm afraid to share my opinion because what's everybody else going to say? Can I really say that? You know, especially in the online space. Oh, I say that to my clients once they hire me, right? But then they wonder why their business isn't as successful as it could be, because they're keeping, like, the best part of themselves a secret. But I actually believe that when you share your viewpoints publicly on Twitter, on Facebook, in your blogs, when you're speaking, when you're talking to people, it creates this amazing conversation, and it really opens things up. And I'm a fan of anything that moves us away from convention and into conversation. This is not like you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this, and then you do this. Again, spiral staircase. It's like all over the place. We're like all on scene, running around all the time. None of us have any idea what the hell we're doing, you know? And so, like, it's a conversation. Every day we're like, who do I want to be today? I don't know. There's so many options and there's so many choices in today's day and age. So you think about, like, can I really say that? Yes, you actually can. But again, if this scares the crap out of you, start with something really little. Like, I will never eat a banana that has spots on it. I'm like, really, just start with something that simple. And then blog about that. Why you'll never eat a banana with a Hespoth. And I don't know why. I'm just making stuff up here. So then think about, well, if I narrow my viewpoint too much, I'm going to lose my audience. And I think, like, service-based industry, people can learn so much from people of product-based businesses. You know, like, you go into, like, a Chanel store, right? It's like, really, can we have another quilted bag year after year after year after year, right? Same quilted bag with the chain handle, and every year I'm still like, want a Chanel bag, want a Chanel bag, want a Chanel bag. It's like I know what I'm gonna, the experience that I'm gonna have when I go into the Chanel boutique. And so it's really simple for product-based entrepreneurs to create their viewpoints. They have to. A designer, a fashion designer, every year, every season, every collection, they have to come out with a viewpoint. Otherwise, people are not going to know that it's them. They're not going to know that they designed it. And everything running down the runway, it's not going to coordinate. So when you think of your own business, think of, like, people will seek you out if you're a specialist, right? So move away from, like, the general practitioner thing in business. Again, that's fine, like, your first few years in business. But if you really want to get to that next level of your business, take your business off the charts, you're going to start developing your viewpoints, because people are going to seek you out for that. My clients seek me out because I have strong viewpoints, because I'll tell them exactly what I think, even if it scares me. And I had one client say to me recently, she said, Erica, you are the most direct person I know. And if you don't say it, who will? And I take that very seriously. Like, that's my job. That's what people are paying me for. And even people who aren't paying me, I still tell them what I think. You know, I easily make friends or enemies very quickly. So think about your own business. So now, the greatest way to start, because I'm not about being, I told my friend, I said, I'm not into controversy. And she's like, really? Your book's named Think Like a Stripper. And I was like, oh, no, I meant the word, I'm not into confrontation. Like, that's not my thing. So I'm sure all of you would like to, you know, carry out your viewpoints and your opinions, but not in a way that's confrontational, right? Because you don't want to be like, oh, Twitter wars. I can't believe you just said that, blah, 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 blah. Like, we've all seen that. It's like, it's ugly. It's pretty. Nobody wants to go there. So think about, if you think about energy, Think about drawing the energy towards the thing that you want to talk about. So if I don't know why the spotty banana example just keeps coming up, but let's just say, like, I'm not going to eat spotty bananas. And then this is like the worst example ever, but nothing's coming to my brain. So think about, like, you're not going to be like, I hate spotty bananas, they're disgusting. People who eat spotty bananas are losers. You're not going to say that. You're going to say, bananas, ripe, yellow, beautiful, clean, like, clean, are like, they're delicious to eat, right? So you just start drawing the energy towards the things that you want to talk about, the things that you're excited about. So back to Dr. Phil. I could spend my whole presentation talking about why I'm anti-Dr. Phil, or why I'm so against his viewpoints and the way that he treats people and the things that he says, or I can talk about my girl Oprah. Oh my God, I love Super Soul Sunday. I feel like I'm chatting with my best friend. I love her recommendations. Have you seen this episode? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. For those of you who follow me on social media, you see that I don't spend time, I'm not like anti-people. I'm not anti-things. I'm like anti-excuses and doubts and things like that. But I draw the energy towards the things that I'm excited about. And that is a great way to start building your reputation and to start, you know, building your audience. Just like Prada is not like, oh, don't go to Kmart. No. They make their product, their stuff so seductive that you're just like, oh my God, okay, $100 more dollars towards my Prada bag. Okay, now I got $50 more dollars. Now I got $25 more dollars. And then, you know, a couple weeks later, you're at the Prada store. But you're not like anti-Kmart. You're just like, no, I just want this Prada bag. Okay, so with that, let's bring some ladies up. So Natasha Wozniak, Tracy, Nikki, Augustina, and Jill. Is that five of you? Okay, so, okay, cool. All right, scoot over. So I'm not really sure how we're going to do this yet. Like I said, I just make things up as I go along. But I promise, no more spotty banana stories. Okay, so Tracy, Augustina, Nikki, and Natasha have all worked with me, and I know them very well. I just met Jill yesterday, so I'm not sure what her viewpoint is. So I asked her yesterday, I'm like, oh, your jewelry. Actually, I said,
your Jill jewelry.
That's yeah, yeah, better. Yeah, yeah. But I said, you said, I sell jewelry. I'm like, do you design it? You're like, well, I guess I do. Yeah. So, okay, so they're going to, so we're going to start with Natasha, and they're just going to give one of their viewpoints, and they're going to share. Well, then we can come back if we have time.
Okay.
I know Tracy's like, I'm all ready to go.
I'm like seven.
Okay. And then we'll talk about how this has helped shape your business.
Okay.
Okay.
So the first time I worked with Erica, and I was asked to share my viewpoint, deep down inside of me came this voice that said, trends are for losers. Which is the angry teenage version of the viewpoint, which actually has to do with how jewelry is this invention that comes from when we were still learning how to use fire. We are sitting around learning how to build fires and use it, and we are already making jewelry out of sticks and rocks and feathers, and it captured some kind of special quality of the human spirit. So if it's something that magical and important to us as human beings, why would you follow some trend that someone told you to wear?
I'm like, okay, I already have my own microphone. But wait a second. But I love this because I love trendy jewelry. My bracelet is Ferragamo, right? And I love trend stuff. Like, everything on me, I'm like, yeah, Nordstrom. Like, everything is like, I love trends. But I also love her viewpoint. And I also have Natasha's jewelry as well. And so, like, there's room for everybody out there. So let me just ask you, how did that help you, having that viewpoint? How has that helped you, like, stay true to yourself and expand yourself?
Well, it really helps me connect with seeing each individual person. So I see sort of, like, feminine archetypes that I want to design for, and I create these characters. And it has nothing to do with what's a trend. It's like, to do with what this kind of woman is. Or I do custom work, and I focus on really, I mean, everyone wants to be seen, so that's what I do when I make a custom piece, is I really see her. So I'm not looking for some outside opinion about what she should be wearing. It's like, who is she and what's her essence? So that's the positive side of where it guides me. But I did share with my client, my email list, my whole getting up on, because Erica had me do this before and get up on stage and say trends are for losers. And I got like the email equivalent of like that. So, you know, they were into it.
Yeah, I love it. All right, Nikki.
So I'm a copywriter and I believe that copywriting is about building relationships. I think that too often we kind of get hung up on using the right words to manipulate people to do what we want them to do. And we forget that actually it's more about using words in such a way that you forge a connection with those people you most want to serve. You know, I had so much fun yesterday, had so many great conversations with so many of you. And those conversations didn't feel stilted or forced or like you were trying to kind of cram in certain words to speak to me in a certain way and convey a certain point. But yet when we come to write our copy, it's like we suddenly get stuck in our own head and think, oh, wait, I read this blog post or I read this book that said I had to use this phrase or and that will convert. Well, no, I think it's more about, you know, having conversations. So that's what I believe.
So how I'm always sorry. Give me that microphone. So how has that helped you in your business? Because I love that, because I think one of the things that we think about is a sales page. You're like, I have to nail the sales page or I'm gonna never be successful in business. And your business is so much bigger than a sales page. It's so much bigger than a product description. It's about, you know, who you are and how you navigate yourself through the world. And there is opportunity upon opportunity upon opportunity. It is endless opportunities to build your business that has nothing to do with a sales page or a product description. So how has that helped you build your business? Because you've grown your business very, very quickly.
Yeah, I think, again, it's about, you know, when you have conversations, when you're building relationships, making new friendships, what are you doing? You're bringing yourself to that. You're being real, you're being genuine, like Kelsey was saying yesterday. And so when I work with my clients, I make a really conscious attempt to go deep. I don't want to stay on the superficial, what you do, how you do it, because anyone can compete with you on that level. But when we go deep into why you do what you do, what drives you, what you're passionate about, that's the good stuff. And that's what I really try and bring out when I'm writing for my clients, and they seem to like it. So
I love it. Thank you. What a clap for you. All right. Agustina?
Yeah. So I'm starting a new business. I am a swimwear designer, but I'm starting this marketing business where I'm going to coach fashion designers to sell and market their products online. So I had this so many ideas, and it's hard when you're starting out because you don't know where to go. So I was talking one day with Eric and shit, and I was like, oh, because fashion designers, they make it so hard. They go and try to look for buyers. They go to the trade shows. They spend so much money. Then they get orders. They don't have money. They're always struggling with cash flow. And I said, the way to go is go online, kill it online, and then buyers are going to come back to you, and it's going to be easier. And she said, oh, my God, that's your viewpoint. So do it like that. And I said, really? But people are going to say, what are they going to say? Because many people are going to say, oh, no, but also wholesale or trade shows are good. But I said, and she said, no, that's your viewpoint. That's what you believe. That's what you have to go for it. So I said, you're right. It's like, that's my viewpoint. And now it's my whole business is going to be centered in doing it online. That's my way to do it. And now my swimmer line is going to be only online. And I believe that the people who want to follow me, that's the way to go. So that's my viewpoint.
And I think that, I think the other thing to recognize is that your viewpoint, it's not really interesting. Like, except for Natasha's, it's kind of interesting. And sorry. And Tracy's, if she does the one that I want her to do, start out with. Battle Soapbox Showdown of the Jewelry Designers. Is that they don't have to be super exciting. They just have to be strong, and you really have to believe in them. And this, you know, this segues into building confidence in your business. Yesterday with the Simple Green Smoothies, Jada and Jen, you know, they had, you could just like, their confidence was like radiating. You know, I walked out and I'm like, I feel so much more confident just hearing them speak. And that's the, you know, like your viewpoint. When your viewpoint is that strong, it seeps into everything that you do. It becomes infectious in a very good way. Okay, so Tracy.
All right. So I'm Tracy Matthews, and I'm a jewelry designer. I have two businesses, so it was really hard for me to pick which one to talk about, but I'm going to talk about my jewelry business. So what I do is really built on personal connection and intuitive design, because I do mostly custom work for rich people. So my viewpoint was really I design jewelry for rich people, which Erica helped me kind of come up with. And I got a lot of pushback on it from the beginning, but what I realized is when I wasn't really focused on the right kind of customer, you know, all these people who really couldn't afford my services started coming in. It's not to say that my jewelry is like $50,000. Like, regular people who are committed to having like a fine jewelry design done can work with me. But it was really more about getting rid of the riffraff clients that were like the squeaky wheels who were always causing problems. So,
and if you could just give people a little bit of background story
about how that came up?
How that came up, but like what was going on in your business before
that?
Oh,
well, I was doing like 15 things, as I usually do. I was teaching a bunch of yoga classes, and I came across Erica, and we had a 15-minute discovery session. And she's like, well, what do you really want? And I was like, I'm so tired. I'm sitting here like hustling all these yoga classes, and you know, I have some really great clients, but I'm not really like attracting enough of the same clients. And a little backstory, I had a wholesale business for many years, and I decided to close it in 2008. So it was like starting over again. And I knew that I just wanted to work one-on-one with people. And I kept getting these people that are like, oh, I have $500 to spend, and I want like, basically they would want something that was like $10,000 for $500. And I was like, I can't do that. So she's like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want to work with high-end clients. And she's like, oh, you design jewelry for rich people. And that's kind of how it came out. And it was really about this discovery within myself about the quality of life that I wanted and the kind of people that I wanted to work with. And it's not really about designing for rich people. It's about designing for people who value what I do. And
yeah,
that's really...
You don't go to TracyMatthews.com and I design jewelry for rich people.
No. I would never put that.
Excuse me. I only have $500 to spend. So think about your viewpoint as like an internal conversation as well. So it can be, you know, go to that place that's like to the edge of like, oh,
yeah,
I can't say that.
Well, I said it out loud in a public forum a couple of times, and people were like giving me so much lashback. They're like, I can't believe you would write that. You shouldn't use it in your marketing. I'm like, well, of course, I'm not going to put that in my
right.
marketing.
Right, it's an internal conversation. Yeah. Just like, you know, like I do say this, so I'm a terrible example. Let's move on to Jill. Don't listen to anything that I say or do.
Well, I'm also a jewelry designer. It's kind of a side gig. I haven't really put much effort into, yeah, exactly, building my business. But I have been doing, I've been doing it for about 5 years, I guess. And I had all this inventory of jewelry, and finally I was like, I'm gonna sign up for an art show or do something like that just to get it out there. And I was really nervous because I never thought about it, but it is like exposing yourself. You know, I've been sitting inside my own little world, you know, making all this jewelry, but I would show my husband and like my mom. But other than that, my friend Andrea, I would bring her random pieces and show her. But other than that, it was really nerve-wracking just because you're critiqued. And so the first couple shows I did, I would, you know, you hear a lot of different comments because it is art, and some people, everyone's taste is different. So I would take it personally when people were kind of like, you know, or it's too expensive, or I don't know. You hear such a variety of opinions that I quickly learned that I don't really care. This is art. I love making it, and it's kind of like trends are for losers. I don't know if it's trends are for losers, but...
You had to just guess. Again,
yeah,
like just like the first thing that pops into your head.
Just kind of like, I'm going to make what I want to make, and I love making intricate, chunky pieces, and I don't really care if everyone doesn't like that. If it's not for you, that's fine. Because it is like art. It's,
yeah,
it's totally,
so that's your viewpoint. I'm going to make what I want to make.
Yeah, exactly. What's fun. And I do work with people and make customized pieces, but it's always going to have my flair. But I think that's what makes you, and you stand out in an oversaturated jewelry market.
And so. I think that's a great viewpoint. There's a you can find it online. Google Simon Cowell and on Oprah's Masterclass, and he talks about when he creates things that he likes, and then he hopes other people like it. And I think that's the best place to come from creativity. You know, like when I wrote my book, Think Like a Stripper. I really wrote the book that I wanted to read. And I'm like, this is my story. This is what I want to read. I still read my book. I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that one, or I forgot about that one. And And so I wanted to, you know, write a book that I would want to read again and again and again. And I think that's the best place to create from. But the other thing about that is once you do that, you also have to stay open to your audience. And then you become this partnership with them. I'm going to give some relationship advice, so you probably shouldn't listen to this either. But you know, when you're out there and you're dating, I mean, my viewpoint on relationships is that you come into the relationship and you are a whole person as yourself, right? Like you have your own things, and you know who you are and what you want. And then you date somebody who matches that. Like you're equals. You date someone who also is, you know, they're whole and they know what they want and they're a complete person and they don't like, I made you, you know, like I've been in so many relationships like, you know, it's like so dramatic and it like never works out. And you come to a relationship, you're each whole, but then as the relationship, you know, grows, like you open and you are receptive to that person's needs and wants and desires. And I know because I freaking hate football and I married a guy who lives for football. And like, yeah, I know more about sports and football than I ever want to know. But it's because I'm like, that's really important to him. But I don't like think of that I'm a loser if I don't like watch sports or know anything about sports. So it's the same thing of like being receptive to your audience. Like, you know, what do you want me to create? What do you want from me? Just like when Natasha does custom work, people say like, these are the things that I want, but then she interprets it with her vision and her viewpoints.
One thing that I remember that you mentioned is that your viewpoints also change. Like you can have a viewpoint now and you can have a different viewpoint.
Absolutely, because as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a creative person, your ideas and the way that you view the world is going to change. I first started coaching people back in 1995. I read, I watched an episode of Charlie Rose, and his guest on there said something to the effect of, in Western philosophy, we're born as if we are an empty box, and we need to fill it to become more of who we are. And in Eastern philosophy, we're born a full box, and we need to empty it to become more of who we are. And I looked around at all my crap, and I was like, oh, crap. I got a big problem. And so it really started with just removing physical clutter from my life. And then once I was done with my house, I needed something to do. And I'm like super OCD obsessed. So I'd call up all my friends, like, what are you doing Friday night? Like, can I come over and clean out your closet? And so, so they said yes. And they're like, okay, now your closet. And then we go down to your storage unit. What about your car? What about your glove box? There's got to be more stuff we can get rid of. So it started there. You know, that was 1995. It's almost 20 years later. Like, if you ask me to come clean out your closet, like, we're not going to be friends anymore. So, because I've changed and I've grown and I've morphed into, you know, more an expansive entrepreneur and businesswoman. And so your viewpoints are going to change. And now I really don't care if you have crap in your garage because I've moved on to other things. So, okay, so I want to give a round of applause to all of our opinionated ladies. Okay, so we have a few minutes. Does anybody want to get really brave and grab the mic and share their viewpoint? Rebecca, I forgot to tell you about the secret crush I have on you.
Back here?
Oh, sure, why don't you come up? I like company.
Oh, just got like a big wave of energy coming up here. Okay, hey,
breathe it out. Just hanging out.
All right. So I am a user experience designer, aka web designer, developer, marketer. Words go on and on, but you can't. So my whole philosophy in my business or viewpoint is that you can't sell UX design, but everybody needs it. And user experience design means that you're designing a website in a very deep discovery process. When you jump right into designing with like, okay, I just need an about page, services, you know, the contact page, just following what other people are doing, you're really not serving your clients. And it really takes a lot of thought process and a discovery. And when I worked with a web agency, when I was just starting out in this field, I thought, it's really skeezy to just, you know, book clients and sell them on the beautiful branding and, you know, not really try and get to know them and have, like, a deep dive into, like, what their clients need. And at any rate, long story short, sorry, I'm, like, crashing here a little bit.
That's okay. Do you want me to talk?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It's really, like,
and I have, like, backup stories in case nobody talks. So we can talk about Sarah Blakely. We can talk about, oh, we already talked about Dr. Phil. Actually, we've talked about most of these people. No, I'm out of stories. Okay, so another viewpoint I have is I'm going through a rebrand. So a lot of you know me. My website used to be Daily Whip. And this is, like, again, a great example of your viewpoint changing. So when I started the Daily Whip, it came from a philosophy by Aristotle that said, we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, therefore, is not an act, but a habit. And all of the clients that I was working with, because I was working more with people on, like, time management and self-care and things like that, I knew that if they just took a little bit of action every day, in no time, like, their business would change. Okay, 5 minutes. But then, of course, as the years have gone on, like, I'm still super bossy, and I will still always have my whip in hand, because I've been that way my whole life, and I'm not going to change who I am. But the name just wasn't working for me anymore. So I was like, I want to be Erica Larimark because now I'm 43 and I have all these other ideas and I want to invest in companies and there's, like, all these amazing things that I can do. And so I'm just going to brand under my own name. So through that process, I need a new logo and I need to do these other things. So those of you who are my very loyal readers, I thank you. You've seen that I'm slowly doing my site and I'm not, like, doing a total rebrand all at once. Because I just don't think like that. I'm very experiential, like that user experience. Like, I have to get into something before I know what's going to work and what's not going to work. And that same thing of, like, I'm not going to redesign my whole site because, first of all, I need to be able to find things on my site. And if I can't find it, you know, how are other people going to be able to find it?
Exactly.
So I like things really simple. So if you want to go to ericalarimark.com or that you can still go to dailywhip.com, that's a shortcut, or Empress Erica and all spellings of Erica. You can go there as well. But look at, you know, the way I just have a new logo, a new header, and a new footer. And then in the next coming months, I'm going to be adding some things to the bottom of the site. And then, like, within the next 6 months, fingers crossed, I'm going to have, like, a new photo shoot, new photos. I've cut my hair, and I don't wear that red dress anymore, and et cetera. So it's like I believe that you can build your business and you can change things very, very differently. So it's also part of that user experience. And my whole team knows that. I mean, I actually give them a warning label or warning packet about me. And I think Kelsey was talking about this yesterday, where she's like, I have two emotions, joy and rage. I love that. I changed my mind. So what was the A plan yesterday is the, you know, the poo-poo plan today. So they're all warned. And my graphic designer, my web designer, everybody knows that I changed my mind because it's that user experience thing.
You're getting feedback from clients and you're actually, it's like that mediumship exercise, right? So you're starting to feel from them, like, what is a good and what isn't a good experience. So,
yeah.
You know, as we're growing in our businesses, you want to revisit that kind of mediumship and think about, you know, right after they hit that, like, pay button, what is their next, like, feeling? You know, are you just like, thanks for your money, and then I'll get back to you in, like, 2 weeks? Or is it like a Backstreet Boys video, like Hey Shanae has, and it's just, like, amazing, and you're like, yeah, Backstreet's back, all right. And you're like, I'm going to, like, kick my website. You know, it's going to be awesome. It's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of little things to tweak. And at any rate, just if you
now
can
I'm
think
have to
about
buy
the
something
entire,
from Shanae.
Yeah, if you can think about, like, the entire interaction working with your brand, you know, that is what your website should help, you know, and all of your web presences. So,
yeah,
anyhow,
I love that. Okay, so real quick, so want someone else? Just somebody come up here. Whoever can run up here the fastest. Were you in the hot seat yesterday?
I was.
Yeah, I'm on to you.
You just caused a lightning strike, and that's why I wanted to.
Lightning strike? Are you okay? Here, take the microphone.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
So I'm Ashley Sorokas, holistic nutritionist. I'm in the middle of rebranding, and I've gone back and forth between do I brand as my name, because I eventually want to get into business coaching, but my last name is retardedly hard to spell. My maiden name isn't, but my new one is. So I'm going to stick with the name of the site that I have now, which is Love What You Eat, which originally came from me having food allergies, and I want people, no matter what you can eat, you should still love it, because if you hate it, it's totally negating the fact that you're eating healthy things. Now that I'm a mom, I'm really sick of seeing a lot of holistic nutritionists that I follow. It's all like, their blog posts are like, I'm perfect, and I ate these greens, and I made this, and I'm like, I'm a mom. Like, sometimes I'm having a chocolate bar. Like, what is with this? Like, I really have been stuck on my tagline, and so I'm really didn't want it to be too offensive because I swear a lot, and I'm like
fuck kale.
Yeah. Yeah, well, not fuck kale, but I'm tired of people being, like, promoting this perfection of my life is perfect. I don't want moms to look up to me as a holistic nutritionist thinking that I eat perfectly all the time.
So do you want them to look down to you?
No. No. But I want them to be like, Ashley's a real person. She's approachable.
Yeah.
She's doing the best she can, but she still has slip-ups, and that's why people like me. And that's the feedback that I get, is people think I'm very approachable. So I didn't want to swear in my tagline, but now I've realized I can put in, like, I want to give no BS tips for real moms who are trying their best and want to love their food and love to eat healthy food, but you still have people to please. You still have families. If you make this great recipe and your kids don't eat it, you're like, well, that was a waste of time.
So one of the things that you can do to you know, involve your audience is that one of the things that I did, as I said, if you're not... When you're having a down day, like, what are you doing? And I took a survey, like a Google spreadsheet, and it was like, you would not believe what people are doing when they're having a down day. It's like eating a bag of Oreos, watching porn, drinking Crown Royale. I mean, it was like the list was endless. And I'm like, but it was awesome because it's like everybody has that day. Everybody has that thing, right? And so maybe there's like a way that you can... talk about, like, this is real. Like, I just ate a chocolate chip cookie, and now I'm having a green smoothie. Or, like, I totally didn't eat anything green today. I only ate brown food all day long.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So just, like, you know, again, it's like giving yourself permission to be real. Like, every person here, you know, hopefully took a poo today. So, like, we all do it, right? So it's like, why being perfect is such a waste of time. It's such a waste of time.
But... But at the same time, how do you balance that with people who are wanting you to coach them because you think that they have it all together while still being a real person? That's kind of the balance that I've really, in my blog
post. So do you want to work with people who want to be perfect?
No.
So there you go.
No. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you're looking for people, just like, you know, the green smoothie gals. It was like, we're not nutritionists. We're just like, we like green smoothies, and we decided, like, this is so awesome. We're going to make a business out of this. So they're not coming from that place of, like, you have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But, and I think for you, of, like, making that part of your thing, and I'm going to tell you a personal story. I actually reached out to, like, a health coach, I don't know, a while back, and I said, I'm looking for somebody to tell me, this is, like, everything that I preach against, and here I was doing it myself. I'm looking for somebody to tell me exactly what to eat and exactly what my body wants and the exact portions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because I have food allergies also. And she emailed me back. She's like, we are not the right fit because that's not what I do. And I was like, what? How can you turn down me? You know? But she did it. And then she signed up for my list, and, you know, we, like, rekindled our relationship since then. But she took a stand, and I love that. I love it when people take a stand and say, absolutely, I'm not the right fit for you, because then it makes me want them more.
I could do that to people in person. It's my website that I have the problem.
So that's the practice. You know, that's that next level. And everybody here, you know, you either have a website or you're building a website, but that's like that next level of learning to do that through conversations, et cetera. And you'll start to, you know, again, you want people to be like, yes or no. Like, when I'm in a store looking, I'm just like, you know, I'm like Darth Vader. Yep, that's it. Yep, that's it. And then I, you know, get my purchases and then I leave the store because I'm so clear of, like, what I like in clothes and what I don't like.
Okay.
And that's what you want for your customers. You want to make it easy for them to say yes or to say no.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks, Ashley.
Sorry.